Where are you here?
Oh, there I am. Hey.
Where are you? Where?
Got me?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me.
Come on,
walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. All along this Jesus journey. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Yeah.
Walk with my mama.
Yeah, walk with my mama.
Walk with me.
Walk with me too.
You walk with my mama.
Yeah.
Walk with me.
And walk with me too.
Walk with my.
Yeah.
Jesus
journey.
I want Jesus.
Walk Jesus.
Walk with me.
Walk with me. Yeah, hold my. Hand, Lord, hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord, hold my hand. All along this Jesus journey, hold my hand, Lord, and hold my hand.
Walk with me.
Walk with Moses.
Walk with me.
Walk with me.
You walk with Moses. Walk with me.
Walk with me.
While I'm home.
Yeah.
Jesus
journey.
I want Jesus.
Want Jesus to walk with me. Shepherd boy. Yeah, you made him a great king. I know David shouted for joy. He walked with David, and he's a little shepherd boy. You made him a great king. David shouted for joy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. All along this Jesus journey. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Gotta walk with me, Lord.
Rocking great, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm the only person here. That's awkward. Oh, Chad brought his own cage. That's nice.
That's right. I brought my own cage. And it's Chadrick.
You guys, you can't change your names. What is this?
Oh, my God.
I'm terribly confused. So, Paul. Paul. Over on the Discord there.
I have you all here now.
Chad, all where are you?
One place.
Don't you wish you knew?
I do.
You wish you knew.
Grim Grizz, you called us here. Now, what are you going to do with us, huh?
Well,
what are you going to do with us?
I have provided you with several branding light clips on the Discord to explain what's going on here. You'd have to open your Discord and load them as branding, though. And that'd probably take forever. What happened was, I'm supposed to destroy you in this. Because once upon a time, you had some Israeli professional wrestler on. And he was talking horrible smack about kayfabe, not even in character. He wasn't even in character. And he could have been. And it was just such a missed opportunity.
Well, he didn't even like when I had his character on the thumbnail. I had to change the thumbnail because he's a purist. You think you're pure.
It's not right. It's not right. Card for the show is the Three of Hearts. Ah, the Trinity.
Andy Kaufman was a puritist.
And apparently is a demon who possesses Jim Carrey now.
That's true.
Now, before we get started, I just have a gift offering to make on behalf of myself to all of y'all. As a sleep token of my appreciation for all of y'all, I want to begin. And don't worry your Tuscaloosa hearts. No Trojan horses here. Sharks don't have fur. Here we have gifts for Christmas. So, first gift, it goes to Mr. Gaius Griswold Grimm III. With honors. It's not a voodoo doll. It's not a totem. For demonstration of my appreciation for all the LARPing that you have done these fine many years.
Can we get some wolf emojis in the hive mind chat now?
That's the first gift. Peace be with y'all. The second gift. This one we all know. We don't need that one. Okay. The third gift. I have a totally new refurbished Dodge Colt 1982 with your Watts store name written all over it, Mr. Paul Vanderclay. Dodge Colt. It's yours.
So we get a little car emoji for him, maybe?
And last but not least, for poor Miss Emily, who's a little worried on this stream. Just inhale and exhale. All will be well, y'all. All will be well. Merry Easter. Happy Christmas, and have a blessed Lent, all of y'all. That's all I had to say.
Is it just me, or is that mustache getting more and more ridiculous? I mean, it's getting longer, isn't it?
I have no idea what emoji goes with that gift. You're getting old. Tommy boy, you're getting old. You're muted as well. Oh, off the road.
First cell phone of the evening.
What the hell are we doing here?
It's great. It's Grizz and Grizz or Chadwick. It's one of the two of you.
Who's in charge? I don't understand. Whose stream is this?
This is on my channel.
Everybody should be streaming it if they have a channel, so it should be on the Friday Morning Nameless as well as the Griswold Grimm stream. That was kind of the original notion, was that everybody would have their own matches on their own channels, and this happened instead.
I don't know how to actually stream my channel. So
there's a button that says stream this to your audience.
But yes, that's the button you press, and then you type in a little title, and it goes on your own channel as well via the power of StreamYard's referral in the Grimgriz stream description of the stream.
But I don't have, like, do you ever, like, make passwords and forget them? That's me.
I have to remake a password every single time I log into anything.
Yeah, I don't like doing that because it's too
much. And then when I make my new password, it tells me it can't be the same thing as your last password, and it really pisses me off.
All right, what we're going to need now is some kind of emoji that the audience can use to indicate either positive favor for what's going on the screen or negative favor as what's going on the stream. As said in the interview, working with the people that are also participating in the Hive Mind chat is part of how this wrestling thing works. A carrot. We have a carrot recommendation by Chris Howard, as if things are going well. That would imply a stick as the other way, but maybe we can get a gong or some other. What would you wonderful people saw. Like to put?
He wants us to cut this out.
That's a good one, Lance. Oh, Chad with the aluminum chair.
Sorry.
Just make things happen, Chad. That's what you do. This probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you, so thanks for that.
Actually, you know, I just want to say something. I actually just thought that this was going to be a prank and not anything happened. So the fact that we're here, I'm on behalf of my client, Lobster Monkey Chad, in which case he can't be here because... Well, he was in a car accident over, excuse me. He was in a car accident driving one of his lemons that he purchased over at the Whitestone brand name car dealership. So this is all that he can be here with today.
Oh, no. Say it isn't so.
He'll grow back. I'm sure of it.
So what? Now's where we get the footage. From live in the hospital bed, where he's waving around his stumpy claw. Oh, you should have gave us full screen for that one. So Emily, how'd you get roped into this?
On my wall.
How'd I what?
I said, how'd you get roped into this?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I've been texting people like, so what is this thing? What are we doing? And nobody tells me anything. Well, Neil just tells me we're gonna have communion, basically, is what he tells me.
I'll just tell you what I thought. So we actually, Neil down there, the not sourdough Neil, and myself, had invited you to have a conversation first. And then... this thing happened, and I thought, well, I don't want to back out on my commitments with Food Truck Emily, so we thought I'd invite you on, and you can ask us anything you want, us four weirdos.
Well, I would have come prepared with questions then.
Oh, I thought I said this, but this is okay.
Clearly not Food Truck Emily's manager.
Yes.
The lovely Chadrick. We could take questions from the hive mind and see who gets the most emojis in response to their answer.
I honestly kind of thought I was like the token woman in the, you know what I mean? Like we need some kind of like female representation. And
you think we're a diverse, equitable, and inclusive place?
It seemed like it.
We're not trying to feign such things. We are pursuers of truth and the good and the beautiful. And we would never do something like include someone on the basis of their skin color and or gender identification.
Well, we're all the same skin color, so there goes that.
I am blue, miss.
That's right. We don't quite know Chad's skin color. Also, I have major Easter hangover. I'm just going to be honest. I just did 5 services this weekend. And Sunday morning, I woke up and had no voice. So I can't tell you how stressful that was, and I had a horrible sinus headache. I thought my head was going to explode. I almost passed out on stage at one point, but I'm here.
Well, since I have to destroy Paul, That's going to be, that's what I gave you the clips. It says it in them. You have to make sure this is something I never forget.
Prep for this.
You made the thumbnail. You're into it, man.
I did make the thumbnail. And I made the branding. It was my first branding.
That was pretty impressive. I can't believe, I don't think these fine people had to see what I saw when I saw the first draft of that. That's going to come up in our match. But I think what we should probably do, Paul, is put a 10-minute timer on it. Me and you drop out and let this first match begin.
Okay. That's fine.
But, okay.
Wait, what are they talking about? What match? Why am I so big?
I've got a couple of topics. So originally, we were planning on doing a Emily, Chad, Neil meandering. That was the original plan. And then Mr. Gaius Grimwald Grizz III, with honors, decided to invite himself and PBK. And you can't have one without the other. So here we are. So we have our meandering. So I have a topic.
Okay.
This was a while ago. This was maybe 3 months ago. We had a meandering with Tayo. And I ended that meandering with saying, I think what's going to happen next in the TLC is the art layer. In that whenever a new movement occurs of anything, it starts out as dream or it starts out as like bubbling up, unsolidified, uninstantiated fragments, these little bubbles. And then something happens. It gets translated into what we call art. And art's the in-between between the dream and the reality. And so I'm seeing more and more signs of art emerging within the TLC. We have this guy, Ship Clerk, who just put together a really cool montage. Everybody out there, you can check out Ship Clerk.
Yeah,
PBK. And we have all these games.
With him, right?
What was that?
He did a rando with PBK recently, right?
I don't think so.
He did it?
It's a different guy. Yeah, different guy.
Different montage.
You know, we're playing all these games, we're playing all these silly shenanigans. So we're gamifying TLC, but we're also telling a story, it seems to me. Like we're moving in a particular direction with the flotilla. So I guess I want to ask, what does this art layer look like if we go into something like that? What is the right, that's the wrong way of putting it. Like, what is our responsibility in relation to art that emerges from this place? Like, what is our responsibility? What is our agency or lack thereof? And that's another way of framing, like, what are we doing that we're always asking about, the navel gazing. But, like, I think we're moving into artistic productions coming out of this place. And to what level of responsibility do we have to bring people into this place? To what level of responsibility do we have to, let's say, properly preserve the spirit of this place in art? Like, what are we conserving and what are we changing towards or into? You know, what's the goal? What's the telos? I don't know the answer to that, really. I don't. But I trust the spirit of this place. But I'm interested in, I guess, the thoughts of the hive mind and also the two of you. So,
well, I feel like I'm new to here, so I feel like it's audacious for me to say what I think it should be. And, you know,
what made you decide, Emily, to come out of the lurk? Like, what was the precipitating series of, and then building off of that, what's the next step?
Well, first, because Paul kept referring to things and I could tell there was a video, you know, like he would. And so I thought, well, and if you, I don't remember which conversation, but I could tell like there were images or there's something that he was referencing or people he was, clips of things he was playing in the podcast. And so I went to YouTube and then I started seeing comments underneath and I got tangled up in the comment section once. And I remember like my heart racing because I was like afraid I was making someone mad or something. And then the conversation was super gracious and curious. And I was like kind of surprised by the spirit in the comment section. And so then the next time I was listening to one of his podcasts, I was curious to see what the comments were again. And I went back and then started seeing familiar names over there. And then just kept like clicking around, and because I didn't even know there were other orbiting channels. And so then I started, because I even was looking for a podcast of Chad the Alcoholic. I was like, who the hell is Chad the Alcoholic? So I was looking for a podcast. I did not find one. And then found it on YouTube, you know. Anyway, and then Girl Country. And well, I just was like, people were talking about things that I was really interested in that I don't get to talk about, you know. Does that answer your question?
It's almost like watching the story wasn't enough, maybe. You wanted to be part of it?
Well, yeah. And then it's funny because like the first time I feel like I sort of barged in, and it was that sense of like you barge into a room to say something, and then you realize there's like a whole tone and a conversation's already happening, and then you just sort of, you know. And that's what kind of happened to me. So then I just sort of like sat down and I was like, I need to kind of listen to people first. And so yeah. Listening, and I started chatting, and then it was like addictive because I just wanted to keep talking to everybody.
Well, that was my experience. I just barged in and said hi, and been saying hello ever since.
Yeah.
And to answer Neil's question, I have no idea. I don't even think like, yeah, I don't know. All I have is my experience, and when everything that's happened, I think as far as like my participation has been very emergent. So it's just like, I saw that they're making branding on Grizz's thing or like something like it. And then one day I just was like, I want to do more. And then I kind of went crazy and made a bunch of them. And I really liked the, I guess you could call it art. I mean, I think McMosa would call it outsider art in some sense. But it's just digital collaging, just like I was doing already. And so I liked having the frame of remember embody. There is no agency. We want what's best for you. And that was the frame. And then so anything can happen around that. And so I might have a flash of insight of a theme or something, you know, one of them was, and I don't even know how these things happen exactly. So that's the extent of my art. And then once in a while I get to make poetry and then try to make, visual maps to go with it, basically. And then now what I'm trying out is taking excerpts from books and then putting, you know, images with that and then using that as a timer for the very beginning. And all this is stuff that I basically learned from the general Griswold Grimm and then added to kind of what I'm doing and just doing my own thing with it and probably terrible. I don't know why anybody watches, to be honest, but it's fun. It's an expression. Yeah.
I thought about this a lot in relation to video games because when I was in my early 20s, late teens, like I was really into World of Warcraft. And within World of Warcraft, you have a concept called a guild. And it's like, it's all guys. And if there are a few women who play World of Warcraft, it's always it's always a challenge because you got to manage the few problem guys in the guild that are super awkward and, for lack of a better word, cringe. And they just mess it up for, you know. But within the guild, you have this kind of binding, I would say, around a common goal. Like you want to go on the quest together as like a group of 20 people and you want to vanquish the dragon, let's say, or kill the giant or, you know, whatever it is. And it's a lot of fun for all these different challenges. And to me, what we're doing here feels very much in that same vein, except we're actually binding around something that's useful and, let's say, more real. It's not embodied in that we're not all physically in the same place. However, we are real people binding around real things. And the vulnerability that we're sharing is real vulnerability. To me, it seems like a step above, like a step beyond or the next step of, let's say, a video game LARP, because the video game LARP, you're participating in the imagination of some person, developer, that's ultimately, Luke would say, mammonized, right? They do want to keep you occupied with the money. And here, it feels, I guess I trust the spirit of this place more, like what we're doing more. And it's also, it's got a frontier spirit to it. Like, it does feel like we're doing something that really hasn't been done before. I've used the term bottom-up ecumenicism, but like, that doesn't really feed into the art of what, I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I would like it to not be explicitly Christian, because it isn't, and it hasn't been, and I don't think that it should be. This is one of the criticisms I've seen, and so I'm listening to the criticisms. So what I've been recently doing is venturing out into the known internet that we know, and actually trying to find other live streams and other live streamers and invite them. So far, I've had almost like zero luck. And to be honest with you, like, I go and I listen to these streams and they're just dumb, to be honest. I mean, it's just really, they're not.
I know, it's so funny because, so I'm a complete outsider, right? But from the very beginning, from the very first time I saw, like, Chad, one of your weird videos, I just loved it. And I can't tell you exactly why, except for maybe like what Neil said was there's something very vulnerable about it. Like, one of them, like, you're just sitting playing your guitar. Another time you were just making up poetry off the top of your head while smoking in your truck. And I was like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but I just loved it. And like, sometimes I would even start tearing up and I wouldn't even understand why. Like, and the same thing happens to me when I'm on Girl Country. And it's something so qualitatively different than anything else that you see, that's so, there's so much presenting and performing everywhere on the internet. And I think it just, something that I was hungry for that I didn't even realize I was, you know, because it's not even so much like, oh, I'm getting something just intellectually out of it, which I am. But it's like, at the same time, it's definitely not that. And there's also even the way that people argue and fight in the comment sections and stuff like that. I don't know. There's just something very qualitatively different. And so, like, you know, you guys mentioned a lot of time about like Christian YouTube and it's just something just so different. I think I already said that about Christian YouTube, but and the so same like saying it doesn't need to be just Christian. I think that just in general, people just need to be making more beautiful art, you know?
Well, yeah, I think the big thing is so we can like do less of kind of what we're doing right now, which is I'm okay with the talking about talking. I like it. It's fine. But I know a lot of people, not a lot. It seems like there's a handful of people who have their criticisms about it. But it's like, well, what's actually happening is we're actually sharing a type of fellowship right now. So that's actually what it is. but I am very interested in other topics. So I would say for those that are critical of the talking about talking thing, I would really encourage you to put in the comments topics, because like, it's hard to just pull a topic out of the hat for me. Maybe it's not for Paul or for Grizz or anything, but I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of things I'd like to talk about. I try to reach out to Brendan Dempsey. I hope he reaches out back to us, because I really want to talk about some of the stuff he's working with on right now. And but I really want to find other players out there. So I was at work earlier in the week, and or not this week, last week, obviously. It's Monday, so we're already early in the week. Anyways, I was on a live I clicked into a live stream, and
Emily won this a long time ago. I don't want to hear a story about you clicking into some other live stream. You're on a live stream right now, Chad. There's people watching. People watching, man.
Well, I'm just saying.
I won because I'm a girl. See?
There was another dude in the wrestling.
Admit it.
They sucked. I'm just saying.
No, you were on. You were at the last 2 minutes of the 10 minutes with the real grand slam hit after Neil bored us and Chad reminisced. And you were just like, all right, that's. You know, I was moved. There's something going on, and that's a good layer. It doesn't have to be Christian. And it was a nice sum up, a nice pow, knocking it out of the park. I'm calling the match for that. We got people to dance for now. Come on, guys.
Is my job to pull people out when, you know, it's like I mean, is this a tag team? You know, do you just go bang and then, you know?
I want to see a PVK versus Grimm. Chad and me kicked out. Go.
Mm-hmm. Not yet. We got the. We're doing like maybe at a whole hour. I was planning at least, which means like the me and PVK title match is the last 15, and maybe he slides Guy Landau a link in the last 5 minutes so he can come in and straighten things out. Did you load up those clips, Paul?
No, I didn't. I didn't see any clips. You didn't.
In the Discord, in the DM, from me to you, are very relevant clips, including one I'm going to bash you with in the match. So if you would please load those up, that would be great. He's got to go off to do it. So that's nice. It's, see, this place is a... that we're seeing each other is the thing. And like enough of us are willing to climb up on the fourth wall and pretend it doesn't exist. And that's now this is playing together. Serious play, sure, but it's better than being in a Skinner box, like you were saying, Neil, because that's what video games are. And if you don't know what a Skinner box is, you should pay for our Fancy Pants Defense Against the Dark Arts premium course, where we go over like such things.
Have you seen the? We started using the DNA bubble over on the Friday Morning Gamer.
Boy, howdy! You've made it dance. I saw.
Yeah.
More like roll.
And this whole thing, you had Charlie Brown on today, but you called him by some human name, and I didn't know it was him until the very end. So I missed it. I haven't watched it yet. Why won't you use people's stage names in that thing? Is this the real vulnerability you're trying to establish?
Because Neil Jordan's looking to make friends with people.
I had friends once. I lost them, so I came here.
Oh, dang. What is this?
What the deuce is going on here? The man has turned into a bunny and she's put on her demon face.
Because I don't know what's happening.
I wear my demon face.
So Grim, what are we binding around?
We're all just
you prisoners. Need a telos. You need a telos. Or the Catholics are going to come and burn you or something.
Well, Paul and I are here doing mission work.
Wichita's
if you watch our second conversation, I get him to admit that. He's got missionary experience in Haiti, but instead of in Haiti, we're missioning onto the internet. That's why he says go to church all the time. That's why I say you're swimming in mind control.
It worked.
That's my justification. I don't ever plan on leaving. It's more like, you're not supposed to be here, humans. Go back out into the real world and put things together. Leave the internet for the stunted people in basements. Go be human. But if, you know, we're entertaining the people listening at work while it happens, so be it. So be it.
What do you see us doing? All these channels. What are we doing?
We're seeing each other. It's like the difference between these channels and any other channel on YouTube is like we float together.
Mm-hmm. And Chad's comment about looking for other people to play. I mean, that woman with the small channel, you know, I left a comment, the comment disappeared. I think she was like, delete the comment. You know, I said, I invited her and I even stepped over. I even transgressed the Grim Grizz VNA Bene Gesserit doctrine and got slapped for it. And she still just blew me off. So
she deleted your comment?
I think so. It disappeared.
Although you can't throw an entire principality at an individual. You got to send out, for lack of a better word, an APOS. I won't do the whole thing. You got to send out one or maybe two, and they're gentle and they cultivate. They, you know.
Well, I'm glad it's the usage of it is picked up. I can't wait to see how it goes terribly, terribly wrong. Like some people, but because it's hive mind, it's people enforced. So like somebody can start using it and not make people feel virtually not alone, make them feel some other horrible way. And then we'll have to figure out how to enforce it. But right now, hey, bubble.
YouTube is full. I just because once you, of course, Algo starts feeding you things. So then I just, Algo fed me a video about a woman who just made a little video and said, you know, well, YouTube, I've got a small channel and you should start a YouTube and the channel is small. So there's, you know, as you guys were talking about it, we are definitely just part of a far larger wave. I think we are much more self-conscious than many others. Many of the fire ants that are not clinging together, they're just out there. Maybe I should have done an emoji with that.
Well, actually, we're actually ahead of the curve. We've been at it for longer. I'm actually talking about actual other live streams where there are people just like this, but they're just talking about like nothing. And so, but they're out there because I've been looking for them, and they just start popping up like crazy once you find them. Somebody even gifted me a membership to one of their channels. I'm like, what? So, I mean, they're out there.
I've been out like long time ago, like pre-Peterson. I've found places on the internet where like people just, they're like video chat rooms. It's some weird URL, some thing you've never heard of. And you go there and there's like people that are streaming themselves sleeping to the rest of the group because people are so alone. Wow. That like, just like, I'll have my camera on so you're there with me and I'm not alone in this room. Kind of, I mean, it's, really? I didn't say it was a healthy place I found on the internet, but that's,
I mean, the question we're really asking is how do we incept curiosity? I don't know how to do that. Like curiosity that there is something better. I don't know how to do that inception.
My wife picked up her master's thesis that she wrote 12, 15 years ago. It's about children's education. And the whole thesis is about exactly the point you just made, Neil. Because without that curiosity, and then the after school video that I played, that I pointed to in a recent video, it was all about curiosity because it basically said, you know, smart men smell their, you know, the old joke, but you know, people with high intelligence basically drink their own moonshine. And what's required is curiosity and humility. And how do you get that? Well,
don't ask us.
Yeah. My way of saying that is everyone loves the smell of his or her own brand.
Yes. Yes.
Name brand.
I got that. I got an interesting comment. One of the more hurtful ones I've ever had recently involving cat urine. And then the end was like, maybe one day streamers will encourage people to enjoy the scent of their scatological border markers. And I really reflected on how like socially my scatological border marking is the Peterson Keck head and the Peugeot Nemesis and the Weinstein telomeres. It's like, that's my, socially, those are the things that nobody bothers those people about, but I won't let it go. And I keep, so that's kind of like a border. I don't know. It was a really thought provoking comment.
I've thought about you a certain way, Grizz, and I'll throw this at you. You're the lone wolf in Dances with Wolves, and you are on the border of edge and chaos, of order and chaos, and you're patrolling this space for people to bring in, people who are threats, sounding the alarm, howling when necessary. I think of the domestication of the wolf that happened, I don't know, 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago. I think you're on that edge. I don't know how
spirit animals are selected, but if I was gonna pick one, it wouldn't be a platypus, so I'll run with the wolf one. That's fine. I'll make it my spirit animal.
That was excellent. I'd have to clip that if it weren't on my stream.
Where's Kevin Costner? I want some beans.
That's my cinema dad. But I think that's why Dolly was so like, Dolly when she met Grizz was like, whoa. And I think she just knew there was something about him that was extra spicy, let's say.
You mean when that person found my channel. I don't believe we've ever met. Oh, your dog.
He's talking about his dog, Grizz.
That
He's
one.
Talking about his dog.
My dog.
Sorry. I know more than one. I know more than one.
Mine is a D-O-L-L-Y.
It's weird. Animals, that's very strange behavior for an animal. I'm usually one of the animals' favorites because my soul is so beautiful and pure.
She was like,
No, but there's a lot to that, Grizz, because you've colonized very effectively. And it is, I do find it very interesting that your channel is so small. And I think that has something to do with Not the smallness of your channel is something to do with, but I think your effectiveness, despite the size of your channel, says something pretty profound that you are onto a lot. And it's just kind of hard. I mean, you guys were talking about art a bit, and I do think what Grimm does is art. It's a different kind of art, and it's an art that would make no sense if there wasn't Set. So there's a lot that's interesting that's going on here.
Meanwhile,
I think I'm a paper general and leading an ingression of the first LARP ingression protocol, leading people through the LARP gate and out of the audience sedative capture state.
Well, but the, you know, to dare to talk about the corner in the corner and commit that transgression now. Generally speaking, most of the people who have sort of bit hard here are misfits of one shape or another. I am a misfit in the CRC in some ways, even though I've got a name and an education and a reputation that puts me at the center, I'm also on the fringe. And I think many of us here share that in common. If we were really fitting into our spaces, we wouldn't be here because we would be in our spaces instead. And so now we're virtually not alone, and we're finding a degree of a thread of commonality among the other misfits. And that thread is helpful, I think, again, back to the art conversation, because what artists do is pursue the liminal. Peterson, in the video that dropped from the Catholics, who are really trying hard to get Jordan to follow Tammy, Jordan basically tells them, this is the first he said it just outright. He basically says, I'm a fringe guy. I'm not a joiner. That's basically what he says. And yeah.
He said it was unlikely because they asked him, are you going to follow her? And he said, it's unlikely. I'm just being honest.
Yep. And I thought it was honest, sincere, but I think the corner of the corner that we have here is very much that way.
Well, that makes me want to recommend a Google talk by some guy that I saw once on fringe networking, because that's where all of the interesting things happen. Aside from that, I would like to thank Chadrick, Lobster Monkey Chad's manager, Neil Daedalus, Old Tommy Boy, something, 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 and Food Truck Emily. But we're coming to the part where I have to destroy Paul Vanderclay now. So,
all right, we're dropping him. All right, I got the branding. I got the branding all here for you. The original branding. I think that's this.
This is a message for Pastor Paul Vanderclay. I saw what you had on your show this morning. The horrible things that man said about the kayfabe. And I just want you to know that I'm going to destroy you in the April Fool's conversation cage match.
I will meet you. I will meet you on the 1st of April, Grim Grizz.
Excellent.
I will meet you, and you will never forget.
Because you see, what we do here is we manifest things by speaking them into existence And while the April Fool's cage match conversation cage match isn't a thing, it can easily be a thing. And all it would take is for the other channels that wanted to be in the cage match to make one of these I'm going to destroy you videos and tag that other person in it. And then we can all have, on April Fool's Day, we can all get in some big Zoom like this one that Chad did. And it'll be a cage match. You know, that'd be fun, right?
Well, are you having fun yet, Chris?
More than most times. More than most times.
Now, I have this spoiler. Do I play that now, or?
It is loaded?
It's loaded.
All right. I just want this, before you do the spoiler, and it's perfect, because I think I let it go for about a minute, and I need to grab some coffee. But one of the things I think about this little corner that doesn't get enough shout out is this-little-corner.com. And it is through that amazing utility by Ryan that I found the following clip to bring to our cage match. And it's the first reference it returned of the word cage match and a trip down Memberberry Lane.
In a whole new light. And that's, you know, I hadn't known much about Barfield at all. And this crazy new life I'm living where one, you know, I start with Jordan Peterson. He's a gateway drug. And via Jordan Peterson, I find Jonathan Peugeot. And I don't really understand him very much at first. Like, where's this guy coming from? And everybody's like, you got to talk to Jonathan Peugeot. And it's like, well, I'm not sure what we'll talk about. Maybe we'll fight about Reformed versus Orthodoxy. And we'll have a little steel cage match, me and Jonathan. I'm a lot bigger than he is, but he's a lot younger than I am. So who knows? So, but Jonathan's such a sweet guy and we hit it off and it's great. And the more I listen to his stuff, it's like, oh, wow, I'm learning stuff. And then Struan, who's watching my stuff, you got to listen to this Verveke guy. And it's like, everybody's sending me stuff to listen to. And now suddenly it's like, oh, wow, Verveke's really onto something. There's stuff going on here. And
there it is.
On the ropes, on the ropes I am.
Let's get ready to fumble.
Mumble and fumbles here on the show. But that was a nice little addition, I thought, because there's something going on here. And it's the fact that we're actually, this is our real life. This dichotomy that the internet and the real life, it's they were once separate things. But then since money got involved, they began fitting together. And I don't know, I've come to see this as participatory ensemble television. What do you think about that?
I think it's true. I just made a video that's coming out tomorrow morning for Homeroom that Peterson keeps talking about the presentational, and what he really wants is the participatory. That's what he's really looking for. It's a difference between covenant and contract. And I think that's part of what we're sort of scratching at here.
It's the difference of whether or not you're one of the people in the aisles going, or you're sitting there feeling awkward.
And it's much better to be one of the persons in the aisles doing that. Trust me.
Do you think, have you? In your life as a Christian, have you ever been filled to the Holy Spirit to the point that you've spoken in tongues?
I have not spoken in tongues. I do not have that gift.
Yeah, have you had an experience you would say is physiological, recognizably being filled with the Holy Spirit? Like, is there a physical, physiological sensation in your body
Oh, yeah. That's common. That happens a lot.
When? Give me an example.
Church, when I'm worshiping.
Yeah.
I give myself to God.
How much of it do you think is that participatory? Does it feel like it fills the room or you as an individual?
No, it's not an individual. It's transjective. It's us. I think that's when Christian worship really works, me becomes us. The minute you're self-conscious, that this it's broken, and it's when you forget yourself. And there's lots of Christian songs that say, so forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. This is old Christian campy song, but that is the heart of worship, is forgetting about yourself. And it's the It's the heart of all sorts of things that are most meaningful in life.
I saw today Zizek's Defense of Christianity. And he went into how Santa is a kayfabe that we all LARP for those who can still believe in it. What would you say to people who said that's what people are doing in church? Is LARPing so others can believe in what they don't? And some of that can be like what happens when a clergy member or a pastor deconstructs, if not that.
Yeah.
They start feeling that way?
You know, the heart of this, I mean, you're touching on it right here, is the heart of belief is the lack of self-awareness and belief. It's just direct. The difference between a kid who dressing up like Superman and is out there flying down the street as happy as can be, and someone who goes to the movie theater feeling a little awkward wearing tights, that's all the difference in the world.
Give me more on that, would you? I don't think I got there.
In thing after thing, it can be worship. It can be, well, Verveke calls it a flow state. The difference between faking it and embodying is the flow state is you forget about yourself. You have connected with that which you are at that moment worshiping, giving it your full attention. You're giving it so much attention, there is no self-consciousness. And C.S. Lewis, when he talks about humility, said that is what's humility. Humility is self-forgetfulness. And we long for that. I mean, Peterson lately has been going around saying, you know, basically thinking about yourself is the definition of, what does he say, unhappiness?
Hell.
Yeah, thinking about yourself. And I think part of, so Set lures us. The spell of Set is that we are self-forgetful and we are drawn into the screen. What's happening here is that we are connecting through the screen and we are still self-forgetful, but now we are connected to others. And that's the way worship is. A worship service is not, there's a lot going on in when the Seeker Church came and they start putting worship leaders and people up on stage for, they did that because the people realized that people in the audience didn't know how to sing anymore. In churches that were pre-Seeker, you didn't need anyone on stage. The whole congregation just did it. The problem that happened was with Seeker worship, to a degree, people were watching. And the real key to great leadership is get them from watching to participating, get them to falling in the aisles, get them to, you know, however they do it, their eyes rolling back or their eyes closed or whatever, so that they are connected.
That sounds like an argument that the Pentecostals give good church.
They do.
Give good church. What else? Oh, I'm supposed to be destroying you here.
I'm trying to send that luchador, the real one. I'm trying to send him a link. Keep talking.
That's good. It's like when he came on.
Emily, you want to come in? We're talking about worship. You're the worship person. You lead worship. You talk to Grizz. I'm gonna set up Guy.
What? What is ambushed? Ambush? What kind of match is this?
There's a tag team. We're talking about worship. We have a worship leader of one of America's top mega churches right here in the ring. I tagged her in, Grizz. She is going to take you out.
Okay. Okay. We'll see. I'll say in one of my personal
favorite.
My personal favorite Verveke quotes is "Your face is really large right now."
Well, because I had to get close to the keyboard to... Anyway, go on.
So as a worship leader, you manufacture participation.
Do I manufacture my own participation?
No, like that's what you're supposed to get out of the congregation, right? Like this is how you roll, yeah. This is how you play.
It's really interesting. I was just saying in the comment section, I think one of the differences, like, so I'm part of a church where we have people that come from outside who have never been in a church before. So in a lot of ways, there is a sense that you're coming into a theater and they do play the music loudly. So there's not the self-consciousness. You can kind of get lost in the environment like you're in a concert or something like that. So the thing that I find so different is like before, you all had a shared liturgy. You had hymns, you had songs that everyone knew, everyone was used to. And then your voice would be lost with all the other voices. And that doesn't really happen that often anymore, you know? I mean, in the kind of
like they don't sing along? You don't lead them into singing?
No, I do. I'm just saying like, so if people come in and they don't know the songs, I can see everybody, by the way. And I see like so over the weekend, I have 5 services and I was commenting how every single service had such a different vibe of you know, because there's definitely a vibe of just the people that are in there.
Like the attendances have self-sorted into sub-denominations?
No, I mean, a lot of it is people who don't regularly go to church. And then, so there will be like a mix.
Oh, the special, I only go on Easter.
And you don't know who's going to show up to what, you know? So it's just a mix of things. Well, I was going to tell one story, first of all, is that one time I was not leading. I was actually in the auditorium that day. And right in the middle of worship, all the power went out in the entire. So the lights, the music, everything went out right in the middle of a song.
Where in the song?
All you could hear was the voices of people just naked, you know, just singing. And it was so moving. And then, you know, like after a couple of seconds, everything came back on and without skipping a beat, like you wouldn't even know like anything happened, you know?
Now you can do that on purpose because you've realized how powerful it is.
Well,
like, hey, Mike, at this part in the song, cut the speakers and let us hear the audience.
Maybe
do
we should do that. Well, because I heard so many comments after that, like how powerful people felt like it was like to hear each other singing. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, maybe we should be able to hear each other. But yeah, I have definitely noticed that there's such a self-consciousness of people when they come into services. Even when you're in a small group, it's like people aren't used to even praying with each other anymore. And there's something very intimate about singing with people. There's something very intimate about praying with people, you know? And yeah.
All right. Since I have you here, and apparently you're something to do with megachurch something something, let me talk to you about paintball for Jesus.
Okay. I've never played paintball. Do I have to have played paintball to understand this?
No, you don't. You know, there are a bunch of children that do nothing but video games all the time. And the fun, super fun, scientifically engineered flow state that comes from playing those video games. The closest I've personally ever experienced to that is on the paintball field playing the paintball. Mm-hmm. So, and it's semi-combat training in case China's sending an invasion force up through Mexico. So I thought it would be a great idea.
They're not coming from Mexico. They're coming from Panama, remember?
If the churches would set up a team, sponsor a team, 6-man teams, in competitive leagues, Baptist versus the Pentecostals, we fun. All the church set up paintball leagues that the poor people can play for free if they attend the church. And they can compete and be on the team. And then their families also start coming to the church. And it brings the blood back into the church. Teaches young men urban combat training instead of getting fat on video games. And is a really great idea. The mega churches, as I understand it, are the most likely to be able to afford such things since they're mega and whatnot. So there, give your church paintball for Jesus for me.
So we're going to get 6 Pentecostal kids to face off against the Chinese?
No, all of the churches will be training their own young men competitively.
To fight the Chinese with paintball?
No, they're playing paintball to prove that the clean life, loving Jesus is great. And when the invaders happen to show up, those are the ones we're going to give their ammunition to.
Praise
the Lord and pass the ammunition. You know. Yeah, perfect. Perfect. I've never gotten to do a full paintball for Jesus pitch on your channel, Paul. I'm saying I'm winning.
I don't know how that works. I wasn't sure how the paintball for Jesus thing worked, but I thought we were going to have like a whole carnival thing too. And the Woody Mammoth was going to be there and I was going to bring my food truck and I was going to serve Lebanese food to the Israeli wrestling dude. And
that would be awesome. This little circus coming to this little city near you. Oh,
I think it can happen. Totally.
Look at that. The on-screen debut of the Lobster Monkey Goose Fancy Pants designer shirt one, whereas the one with the bigger logo is the cheap person one.
This year was number 63 of 100, and I was very happy to get it.
Excellent, excellent.
Worth every penny.
Can you tell me about the quality of the t-shirt? Because I've been inquiring with Grim about doing this, using this.
It's Whitestone brand name quality.
Have you washed it yet?
I have several times.
Is it really about the shirt or is it about participation? Because I think it's a participation thing. So, yeah.
Oh, it's not ready, the look people. Of the shirt.
He who wrestles. There he is.
He who wrestles.
Yeah.
All right, Grizz, here you go. This is your big shot.
What I just did was a classic wrestling trope.
Which is?
Continue.
Oh, wow. I'm really delayed for some reason.
Well, you are like in Israel or something, right? So there's actual lag.
Watch it through StreamYard, not YouTube. There's a big delay between StreamYard and YouTube.
Yeah, are you still watching on YouTube like a noob?
Yes, I was.
Into my ring? You step into my ring like this, like the nerd who sits too low on the camera with the little chart and the diagram, doesn't even know how to get into StreamYard.
Ignoring what just happened, I actually waited to come in like a good wrestler would until I was called upon in the promo. So I was actually a minute ago was summoned. So here I am. Now, Grim, what I want to tell you is, and by the way, it is 3 a.m. here. So if I'm going to beat you now, I'm going to beat you at like 10%. I'm just saying. That your framing of the question to Paul about Santa, I think, as something that you don't believe in to allow the people to believe in to benefit from is wholly and entirely and utterly flawed because...
I'll agree it's holy.
Nice. I think for both for belief and for Santa, the literal, the question of literality is not the right question to begin with. It's a badly framed question because Santa, as well as other divine concepts, are hyper objects, meaning that their realness has to do with how they manifest in the world. So, was the air quotes about realness?
That's right.
Okay.
We're vibing, bro.
Well, figuratively. I can demonstrate to you that the word literally is taking a pummeling lately. And I think actuality is the most appropriate replacement.
Yep.
The point there is, though, is like even if it's not true, everyone can see it'd be better if everybody believed it was. Like
what does it mean for it to not be true if we're not talking about physical things to begin with?
True in your mind, as your mind influences your behavior.
If you don't believe it?
Like, for example, you might believe that the universe, like for when I discovered that Jordan Peterson had blocked me, it's like he'd always taken a bunch of heat for like, what do you mean by God and what do you mean by believe? And I was like, the best definition I have for that is the arena is agentic and you can relate to it as a person. And if that's true, then, you know, we have 97 different brands of how to do it, ways we think that it's capable of doing it or effective at doing it. And thus far, Christianity is on the top.
Well, I can just speak from my own experience. Like, I know what you're talking about. Like, I used to think that that's what people did. And I'm sure maybe some people do maybe act as if or fake it till you make it or whatever. Or maybe they don't believe it at all, but they really like the lifestyle and it helps their family. But, like, from somebody who has had an actual experience of something that they can't explain or talk myself out of, like, I don't know. It's very strange.
Does that mean that since I haven't had that, I'm not chosen by Christ and the unelected damned to hell?
I don't think so.
Do we spend our lives waiting for that sort of touching experience? I think Paul was making the case that if we practice something, including the belief of something, often enough that it becomes automatic and therefore one of our shadow axioms in our shadow axiom lanterns, then the spirit of the thing can actually just, like, once we practice it enough that it'd be like, you do training so that you don't have to think when you need your training. And I think it's a lot like that.
So that does play into what I was going to say, which is essentially, I think you're just putting too much stock in propositional belief. Because if you're putting the training there, that's a deeper level of belief or knowledge or however you want to call it.
Self-programming.
Yeah, it seems like you're waiting for that to be convinced of the sentence, God is real, or something along those lines, where the way, and that was sort of my epiphany that led me to now seek some sort of a religious path. The way religion works through you is the last place it works through you is in your propositional thoughts. So, Santa is real.
That's why faking it until you make it
work. All the presents. What?
That's why faking it until you make it works. Because, like, your mind has to interpret what your body's doing, what you are doing. It has to justify it. And, like, as that's practiced, it becomes your reality. As the manifest of nature of free will in this realm.
But fake it until you make it is still putting the make it as the
right
as the goal to attain, and make it in this case is have the propositional belief. And I just okay.
Making it is having the participatory experience.
Okay.
I think for me what it was is kind of like this. So I had this idea that the universe was for a long time was like something like a simulation. Now that I know this is stupid, but maybe not. But I had to be willing to be rid or lay down my idea of what simulation was, because like that was a completely, like when I would tell people about it, they say it's not. I say, but yeah, but you're thinking about simulation from a certain thing that you probably seen in a movie. But so like. The weird thing is my actual phenomenological experience of having what I had is nothing like what I thought it was going to be or what I thought that those people were having. And so I don't know if I'm all for like practice away, do the embodied practices, but be willing to lay down what you think you know and set it aside for whatever may happen. And like outcomes were always kind of like the thing that would block me from probably what happened. What I also found is it had nothing to do with my time. And so do I think that you're on the outside going, you know, to the bad place because you haven't had that experience? I don't. I think that this stuff is way, way more tricky to lay out. And I think that like way back in the day when this happened, I was telling Luke Thompson about it. And he said, oh, it's as if you were pregnant and then like you didn't know it. And all of a sudden.
It sounds like something Luke would say.
Right. But it made kind of sense because like you have to kind of eliminate the timeline thing. And the expectation, the timeline and expectation kind of go together and they can block me, right? Because I had a certain image of how things were going to go. And it was nothing like it caught me off guard.
You're lucky you had enough opening to grace to allow it to happen, as I understand free will.
I guess I would ask you, Grim, what are you aiming for? Like, what do you want?
At the moment?
Yeah, like what is the goal?
Approximately 1,200 subscribers or channel members.
That's not what I'm referring to. In relation to an experience of God. But why? Like why do you need it?
It's suicide prevention mainly. At least it was for the first 40 years of my life. These last six, that's been off the table, but I still have the give me a reason. Part of the reason I see things the way I do is because a long time ago I became a Carlinist, and that's I have no dog in that fight. You know, I'll watch, I'll be entertained, I'll have opinions on it, but as for me, I'm not participating. And that's how I getting out of deconstructing my Carlinism has proven very, very, very difficult.
And by Carlinism, you mean George Carlin?
Yes, yes.
How about this? Like, I reached the conclusion recently that the only purpose of quality, the only purpose of qualitative differences, that some things are better than others, is if consciousness is intended.
Ooh.
So think of, well, roll around with that one for a while.
What about intentional instead of intended? And I do want to throw out this one liner in case anybody needs it. The simulation theory is a mortality cope. It's.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Everything that's ever been is gone. Everything that's here with now will be gone tomorrow. It's the
Paul apparently is playing the role of the audience.
I know. I feel that qualifies as destroyed in the cage match. Don't you?
He
who presses the buttons. He who can destroy a thing controls a thing.
I'm going to bring up my notes that I have for T-Grog if I ever get the chance to talk to T-Grog. I haven't seen him in these parts recently, so I'm afraid we might have driven that particular individual outside.
He'll be
back. Maybe he went to church. Oh!
I would love actually to have a conversation with T-Grog to sort of, because I'm trying to practice my my materialist translation of what we're doing here. The translation to materialism to sort of be, because I actually have some friends who I've managed to explain to why I find people like Pinker and Yuval Noah Harari. I have my friends laugh at me at how I have an irrational hatred for Yuval Noah Harari. Like
it's not irrational, sir. That is not an irrational hatred.
You don't know how much I hate him, though.
Okay, but the having the hatred is not irrational. You're maybe in an acute case that needs. But since you're here and we're talking and yes. we're in a conversation cage match that I spoke into existence after seeing you on Pass the Poll, my question is, how much more should we, should at least some of the characters in the corner lean into the archetypal presentation? Should they be, should we do what they do in wrestling because we're up on this fourth wall I proclaim does not exist? Would it be more effective and engaging the more we're archetypal and less personally nuanced?
So let me just say that you can maybe lean into it more, but by the nature of the medium, you're already doing it. You're already performing by knowing what it is that you're doing. You're already performing, and by performing, you're already putting out there some sort of an archetypal form of yourself without even being aware of it. That said, I think it would... it might benefit some people in the corner to lean into. I think actually you're doing it really well. You're already embodying an archetype, and but embodying an archetype doesn't mean you have to avoid nuances, because the archetype can be an archetype of something that's nuanced.
No, I mean more specifically, like interchannel wise and intercharacter wise, should we use some more of the techniques and known tricks or whatever, the schemata, the plot lines, that whole nature? Should we see this similarly to the way you've seen professional wrestling as an insider?
Are you asking whether you should create storylines for sure. those in the corner?
Sure. And
I think you should lean into storylines when they present themselves. I think creating them would... So creating them runs afoul of the nature of this little corner, which is bottom up, because then you're imposing something top down. But if something presents itself, and I think this cage match is a great example of that, then leaning into it can create magic and actually deepen the investigation. And by the way, for the people asking in the chat, because I saw some comments popping up while I'm not in character, it is 3:20 a.m. here. I am working
not dedicated enough to be in character at 3:20 in the morning.
I want the Lenny sleeping cam. That's what I want.
All right, Paul, you got to bring it. I'm tagging somebody else in. I need the 5 minutes off cam now.
There he is. There he goes.
So aren't those stories?
I think that means top. Paul wins, because I just heard Grimgriz tapping out. That was my interpretation of what just happened.
It's his professional opinion.
Yes, in my professional opinion, Grim just tapped out.
Aren't these stories already occurring organically? Like I've heard PVK use his Job story like 3 times now, or 4 times, right? And those stories are only becoming more numerous. The stories within the corner. Do you remember the time when I was there? When I was an OG? When, like, that's all coming. You know, I'm what, third generation? Something like that. I'm proud to be third generation, man.
So I will say that even as you can especially tell in wrestling, when a story happens organically. So right now there's something that actually WrestleMania, which is the biggest event of the year, is next week. And there was a story that developed organically over the last 2 months that sort of just happened. And when that happens, which is once every few years, those stories are consistently the best stories, the ones that weren't planned, the ones that sort of just, actually there's something that was supposed to be a one-time interaction, but there's something here. Let's just let it happen, play out, and see what happens. Those are consistently the best stories. So I think that's sort of what I told Grizz. You shouldn't plan out storylines. You should, if you see a storyline, you should lean into it. In life, in general, by the way, I think that's...
Can I give you the story of how I started Tom Luxon? I want to tell that story because it's exactly what you're referring to. So it's all, it's really quick. So when I was coming out of the lurk, I was thinking to myself, oh man, I could be friends with Chad and I could be friends with Luke and I could be friends with some of these people. And I wanted to actually make individual friendships. And I figured I'd plant a bunch of seeds and maybe a few would sprout and that would be great. That'd be fine, you know, if I only a few sprouted. And, you know, Luke's the type of person that he has a lot of friends and they're more like acquaintances because, you know, Luke just whatever's in front of him, he just jumps on top of, right? He just wants to be friends with everyone, love everyone. He'd probably make a great pastor, to be honest. But I was like, how do I get this? So I started thinking, oh, like I you know, have you ever seen the Peter Jordanson video? This came out ages ago. It's like 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I still watch it. It's hilarious. It's just, if you haven't seen it, look up Peter Jordanson. And I was like, oh, I could totally do Tom Lukeson. And then I would, and especially with the mustache getting longer and longer every single day. And he has all these Lukeisms, right? And so I said to myself, okay, this is easy, right? He grew up in South Dakota. I'm going to put on the cowboy hat. I'm going to, and then Chad, I was talking to Chad about this and I was like, maybe he could be like a criminal defense attorney because in New Orleans, man, they're like ambulance chasers. They're everywhere. And Chad's like, no. How about a used car salesman? And I was like, oh, that's great. Let's do it. And then the White Stone name brand came to my mind. And I took a picture of a car dealership, like, you know, really close to my home. And I just like Photoshopped the name to say the White Stone name brand car dealership. Then I record. Well, Chad made his lobster monkey thing. And I was like, oh, I got to do. I had no idea that Chad was going to do that before. Like he did it. And he just did it. And so then my mind is like for the whole weekend, I'm like, I got to do this. I have all these pieces. I'm at my daughter's dance competition that particular weekend. All I had was these like ideas pop into my head. I'm going to do that. And I put together the video and it was, you know, and the way these things work is you put together a long video and then you cut all the mediocre stuff and then you're left with like the gold. And then it just is all natural, you know? Just like Peugeot's hair, all natural.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And when I look at everything that I've seen in this little corner, I've sort of related to what I've seen in church communities. Because this is how communities are formed. They're all the little stories. And sometimes they're the positive little stories. And sometimes they're the bad little stories where things really, but all of that is sort of the knitting together of a community. And I think what people do when, you know, one of the things that happens on YouTube and very quickly happens, oh, I want Jordan Peterson to talk to this person. I want Jordan Peterson to talk to this person. And they're also thinking, I saw my girls do this when they were young. They were shipping people. I'm like, what do you mean you're shipping people? You put them in a container? No. I'm shipping these people like Harry Potter and they're putting them in relationships. And there's just a natural building of a network of a community. And I think part of why this little corner has been fun is that, again, Neil, you decided you wanted to play. So you came out of the lurk. Now, it's not exactly, oh, anybody who wants to come can play. No, you're going to have to bring a story. And you're going to have to find your way on. So, and that's what we've done.
Well, I feel like that's what you did to me though, because I kept just sort of like yapping at your heels about everything. And then you would just send me a link to something like, here, people are already talking about this over here. Just go see what they're talking about, or, you know.
Well, that's a pastor trick. Because what happens is someone comes into church, maybe they liked your sermon, and then they're like, I'm going to start going to church. And me and Pastor Paul are going to be best friends. And it's like,
I wasn't trying to be your best friend.
No, I know you weren't. But the pastor trick is anybody who comes in, I need to knit them into the body.
Right.
And so that's why.
If you hadn't done that, I didn't even realize there were all these other orbiting channels. And then I was like, oh, that's that person. And that's that. I mean, I just had no idea. I'd never even been on YouTube before. But that's also why I know you're not like the internet pastor, whatever. But whenever I said like, you're more of a pastor than I have in my real life, that I, you know, because I do that to my pastor, you know, or to the leadership, I'll be like, have you heard of this? I tried it with the Jordan Peterson stuff and their Vervain. I was constantly trying to, I was bidding for connection, I guess, within the community, and I couldn't find it. I mean, I tried with whether it was women, men, everybody. But that's what you did. And I mean, unfortunately,
that's why I started my channel.
Finding it online, but
yeah, I was trying to talk to pastors around me and pastors I knew in my own network. And they're like, so you say I'm going to have to watch hours and hours and hours of this guy talking. Really?
Yeah. And you're going to love it.
And so
that's how I got into the mix. I was like, I don't know. I was just kind of like, I sensed there was a change was coming of some sort or needed to happen. And I reached out. I stalked Paul's email and emailed him, and he sent me right over to the Discord. And it was like maybe a month later, it was very similar to what Neil was just saying about the Tom Lukeson thing. I was just like, oh, this should be like some sort of a hub where all these different channels can mix and stuff. And then that's how the whole thing started. And for me anyways, I love the whole for fun and for free thing. I'm not on the same run that Grizz is. I'm very supportive of Grizz. Like, I want Grizz to go up, right? I want him to go up in the hierarchy of salience in the world of YouTube. I don't care about that personally. I'm here for the playing with like my friends. And so if I can be a part of doing that, that's what is valuable to me. And or having a dinner and doing these different things, or having memorable moments like that. But it's weird because I was talking with my wife yesterday, and she was discussing how she, it wasn't yesterday, it was a couple of days ago, she was having difficulty with some of her feelings about church stuff. And I was like, and we were talking about the same kinds of things that we talked about on here. And I was like, this is why I do this with these people. And she's like, yeah, but all you guys are all happy and stuff. And I said, no, we're not. We're not always happy. So this isn't happy, crappy bullshit. Like, this people really wrestling with stuff. And like when Grizz says, the whole idea of faith is attracted to him, was initially attractive to him because of suicide prevention. Well, I'll tell you right out. Like, I've had this experience, I think 3 years ago now, 2 years ago. I can't remember. But suicidal ideation hasn't completely left me. But the difference is I don't believe it. I don't believe every whim that passes through my ears, And so, and I'm here to play with you guys. This is not bullshit to me. This is very real and very fun for me. And if I have to, well, especially since doing like all the rando shit, like I don't even know what to make of that. It's hard though. I mean, the scheduling is difficult sometimes.
No, nobody wants to hear how hard it is. Nobody wants to ever hear how hard it is. I don't know how to tell that to you, Chad. But let's give them some saving throws against it, Paul. Put me up on the big screen. These are the April Fool's saving throws. You get to pick between survival, social, wisdom, or heart as the basis for your saving throw. If the die rolls over a 10, you take half damage. If it's under 10, you take full damage until you get your next set of saving throws. And gosh knows when
that... Heart it up, y'all. Heart it up.
Special thanks to Mark, Parker, and Sevilla for the hat tips over on my channel. Choose. Ooh, survivalist with a 5. Socialist, hot trinity for you. That's a 3. Lovers of wisdom bringing in the big deuce against these mind controls. Hard folks, though, you'll be fine. That's a 15 for you. Indigo kids. Oh, how nice of you. You made a nat 20, so you got to show the die. Beholder is watching you. Thank you, Paul.
Unless a mustache dies. It does not bear much fruit.
And it gets irritating on your lip after a while. All right, this is about all I have available, though, guys. I'm going to dip out. Thank you for attending this first annual April Fool's Conversation Cage Match. 6 years into the thing, we finally start doing it. Nope. Thanks, everybody.
So just to confirm, you are tapping out.
Yes, I've been defeated. I've been defeated.
Okay.
Hey, well, right. Paul didn't do it other than like throwing randos at me until I crumbled. But...
No, I did it. I did it with 10% of my capacity.
Oh, it was you. Okay.
Yeah. Ducks eat bread.
They do. They do. They like
10% of my power.
All right. Cue the branding. Thank you all for showing. Oh, you got something else? Yeah, Chad?
I wanted you guys to know that CW Weeks is so much more than ducks like bread. I just want you to know that.
I want to see the CW Sam Tiedemann conversation. That's what I want to see.
Oh, CW's conversations are something to behold, I'll tell you. I think I'm up next. So, being the first one that I did with them, that was a memorable conversation. So, that's definitely top 10 randos. So,
thank you guys for all coming. Guy, I appreciate you. Emily, great to see you. Neil, as always, and Pastor Paul. Bye, everybody.
I'm going to sleep so
much
hard.
Obliged.
All that long is Jesus.
with me too.
You war with my mama.
Yeah.
War with me.
And walk with me too.
Oh,
my. Yeah.
Jesus
journey.
I want Jesus.
I want Jesus.
Walk with me.
Walk with me. Yeah, hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord. Hold my hand. All along this Jesus journey. Hold my hand, Lord. And hold my hand.
Walk with me.
You walk with Moses.
Walk with me. Shepherd boy. Yeah, you made him a great king. I know David shouted for joy. He walked with David, and he's a little shepherd boy. You made him a great king. David shouted for joy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. All along this Jesus journey. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Gotta walk with me, Lord.
Dude, that was rocking great, brother.
Oh, yeah.